Welcome to Brad Golf Podcast, a podcast for the average golfer. My name is Dermot Bradfield and golf is in my blood. Join me as I fumble my way around this fascinating sport. Welcome back to Brad Golf. It's the 22nd of July. And again, I'm joined by the fabulous Nigel Cosgrave from trickydogleg.com, hashtag Nigel's Picks. So welcome back, Nigel.
How you doing, Dermot? How are things?
Super. How are you getting on in these sunny days?
Not too bad. We had a trip to Mount Juliet last week. Just about got there. Yeah. And it made a very enjoyable round eventually.
Yeah, so actually we might have a quick chat about that now. Why not? It's fresh in the mind. Yeah. So for those who aren't too familiar with the course, Mount Juliet opened in 1991, designed by Jack Nicklaus. So it was nice to be playing while the memorial was going on at the same time over in the US, for us to be same time on Friday playing Jack's fantastic course down in Mount Juliet. Par 72, 7,300 yards from the back stakes. Now, we weren't all the way back on the back stakes, but we did play it from the white, which is the next furthest along. It's hosted some big ones, 2000 and 2004, to the WGC American Express Championship and the Irish Open. 93, 94, 95. I was at it in 93 myself. It was due to host the Irish Open in 2020 at the end of May, but that was postponed. It's been suggested that the rescheduled event could fill the Ryder Cup slot in late September. And the starter we spoke to on Friday said that because that's likely to be a week after the US Open, therefore probably no one who plays in the US Open is going to come back over due to quarantine, et cetera, that the agreement that they're hoping to strike is that Mount Juliet would host it in 2020 in the gap in the diary, but host it properly then again in 2021, getting a better opportunity of a strong field in 2021. For 2020, it's due to be hosted by GMAC, and Golf Digest's top 100 Irish courses, it's ranked at number 18, which is the third highest parkland course on the list. So it's an incredible venue considering it was only founded in 1991. What did you think? It was your first time, Nigel, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was my first time. I was very impressed with it. It's very picturesque and a pleasure to play. Had a lot of typical Nicklaus touches, a fair bit of water. It's kind of inserted onto the course. The fairways don't really run straight, they always have little cut-ins, and the landing areas are very difficult to negotiate. A lot of little tricks, a lot of fairway bunkers that are right at driving distance and were really well positioned. But if you hit good shots, you get rewarded. I had a couple of birdies myself in the back nine, so I really enjoyed the day.
Yeah, you had a bit of drama coming down. You took a little bit of a run in the city, and that means you had no warm-up, really. So you had no putting.
No.
You started pretty well. Bar the par three, you were by about 14th hole. You were, I think, around 6 or 7 over, and that would have been in the hunt. If you could finish with a couple of birdies, you would have been in the hunt. But
I didn't hear the results, did you?
Yeah, so I don't know how they publish their results. They don't do it on How Did I Do, any of this for sure. And I had a quick Google before I came on here to see what was the winning score. We didn't see. You played well on the day. I was going very well until the ninth. I think all four of us struggled with the greens, Nigel. They were very slow on the day.
A lot slower than I expected.
Yeah. Now, they were like carpets. They were absolutely, fantastic greens. They were fair. But they were just...
They looked like they should have been quicker, but they definitely had got a bit of hairy growth in it and were very slow going up the hill particularly.
Yeah, and sometimes it's one or two players struggle with the pace, but all four of us found that quite a difficulty. But we definitely go back again, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, it was a really enjoyable day.
Okay, well the Cup won't come to Donabate this year, but who knows, maybe next year. So moving on then from Mount Juliet, we've next on the list is Memorial. So just do a quick recap there. And before I go into your picks and picking apart your picks, let's just start with Rahm, because there's nowhere else really to start but Rahm. He was so impressive. What was your view on John Rahm at the weekend?
Well, yeah, he dominated the field. He was aggressive from the get-go on the final round. He didn't shy away from the fact that he was four shots ahead. He played it to win. Was laser-like off the tee.
Yeah.
And was going for shots the whole time. I mean, the big talking point was his chip in at 16, which actually turned out that the ball moved at address. But the fact that he went for that pin with the tee shot just shows how aggressive he was the whole day. And that's how you win tournaments. And he's an exciting player. He runs a severe hothead, which can self-destruct on him at times. I personally witnessed this at Carnoustie 2 years ago when I'd actually backed him. And he missed a birdie putt on, I think it was the fourth or the fifth hole in Carnoustie. Then promptly hit the next one out of bounds. And I think he bogeyed nearly every hole in. At the time, he was four under, you know, contending for the lead. And he went from there to out of the tournament, missing the cut within the space of nine holes because he has a very short temper. But when he gets that under control, he's devastating to play with.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's now world number one, only the second Spaniard to get there after Seve, and the third youngest. So quite an incredible achievement for the young man. And it was ironic as well that we were only, you know, just before the Memorial last week, we were talking about Tiger's amazing flop shot at the 16. So which, I know there was a penalty or two-shot penalty applied to Rams, but which for you was better? Tiger's flop or Rams?
Still Tiger's.
Yeah. You're old school.
There was no... I think the penalty definitely makes it Tiger's better.
Yeah.
It definitely moved. It was very small movement, but it did move. So technically, it was an infringement of the rules. I think he put the club down a lot behind the ball, which is always going to leave you open to that happening.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought he could have hovered the club a bit more over the ball. There was no crowd there, as I said. And he was also three shots up, I think, at the time. So,
true. And he didn't have the water in the same way as Tiger, the angle Tiger.
Yeah, the water wasn't a factor. Yeah, exactly.
But it was still pretty good. It was up there. It was definitely up.
Oh, it was a brilliant shot. Brilliant shot. But not as good as Tiger's, no.
So that's John Rahm. What about Rory? So I know he was your top pick. I put down three questions and I'm going to fire them at you rapid fire. First one is, what's up with Rory? Second one is that it? Have we seen all from Rory now at this stage? Have we seen the peak? And that was a couple of years ago. You know, everyone's talking about the most naturally talented golfer, so on and so forth. Is his time up, Nigel?
His time is not up, but he is gone very much into the negative column for me. His attitude at times beggars belief and kind of differentiates him from the likes, the great Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, in like on the 50, Rory was three under, albeit he was nine shots back. But, you know, Rahm is going to take his world number one title away from him unless he played well. And instead, he shot an eight at that hole. He was in the water twice. Now, you can understand that maybe he's pushing, he's being aggressive. Maybe with the first shot going in, he was trying to hit the green, but then he put it back in the water again. And then promptly had two more bogeys before the turn and disappeared. Shot a 78. He's done it a lot of times. You know, Tiger in that situation would have ground out. Maybe he wouldn't have made up the difference, but he would have put pressure in some way on John Rahm or posted a total. Rory just disappeared. And he disappears in situations like that. 6 years since his last major. There's always talk about him, you know, especially the likes of Wayne Riley and Radar on Sky Sports, who talks about if all the top players play their best game, who wins? And they always say Rory. But I don't believe that anymore.
Yeah.
I think that consensus opinion's gone. He doesn't play his best stuff very rarely. He's developed a consistency, but in developing this consistency where he racks up top tens, he's actually lost that kind of killer or edge or sort of natural instinct to win that he had when he was younger. And I think, well, statistically, he's probably a better player. He doesn't have that extra gear anymore, I don't think.
Yeah,
that's like, going to win him a major.
Nigel, he reversed into him. You know, he was kind of well out of contention.
Yeah.
he shoots a big score in the final day when the pressure is not on. So I agree. I think, you know, he hasn't featured enough for a man of his so-called ability at the top end. Anyway, that's for sure.
Well, no, listen, he has that ability. He has a bad attitude, in my opinion.
Yeah.
At times he does have a bad attitude. The towel gets thrown in very early when things don't go his way. When he's on the front foot and he's on the course, especially a long, soft course that plays into his long game, you know, he goes well on the front foot when everything's going well. He can steamroll a field. But when any sort of big adversity comes his way, he can sometimes go missing.
We'll leave him off our senior cup team this year.
Yeah, he's off the team.
He's off the team. Kepka has also fallen off a cliff. Now, I know his knee injury has to have an impact here, particularly on his iron game. But he's down to, what, 7th in the world now and just one top 15 in 9 this year. Now, I know he had the knee injury last year for the Presidents. Clearly still an issue. He's outside the FedEx qualifying points at the moment, but he did say that if he doesn't qualify, he's going to get some stem cell surgery on that knee. So clearly it's still an issue and affecting his iron game quite significantly. What's your view there?
Yeah, fall down the rankings is definitely due to injury. And it's a bit worrying because he isn't the same player. He doesn't have the same confidence in his game since he's had the surgery. You wonder if he'll ever get back to those heights of, you know, winning 4 majors in 2 years. He's playing this week. His brother's also in the field. He needs to get a couple of tournaments where he builds confidence. A couple of top tens may improve the situation, but I can't see him winning a major this year.
And one last talking point then from Memorial was Friday, wasn't it? Bryson's 10. So social media lit up on this one because, you know, we do, and when I say we, I mean the fans of golf, love to hate Bryson. And a lot of people got a lot of satisfaction and joy of seeing him having that difficult hole, hitting it out of bounds twice. But in particular for me, it was his behavior towards the rules official, which I put here in brackets, he behaved to brand.
Yes.
You know, so what was your view on that? I presume you saw that. What was your view? What was your take on that Ken and his behavior?
Yeah, I saw a recording of it. It was disgraceful behavior, really. Yeah. He basically questioned officials' integrity when the rule is quite simple. He demanded a second opinion, only to be told the same thing. And then when the final opinion was given to him, he complained about that as another bad ruling that goes against him.
Yeah,
he acted like a spoiled brat. That's the way he's been. I've seen him
since
his amateur days. Yeah. He's a great player, but he is a gigantic a-hole.
Yeah.
That is his brand. And that's why he doesn't want the cameras on him too much, because the cameras are on long enough, he's bound to do something stupid or ungentlemanly.
Yeah, I think, you know, in a press conference, that's where he wants his brand to be displayed, because he can prepare and he can put a script together for his press conference that shows him to be a scientist.
And then he mentions all his sponsors specifically.
Yeah.
In his all his press conferences.
Yeah. But out in the course where the mask is off, yeah, don't you dare get a camera near me, because you'd see the real me, I think.
Brought him back down to earth.
Yeah.
And it was great to see. I mean, Patrick Reed must be delighted as well, because he's no longer public enemy number one.
That's for sure, yeah. In other news then, in Ireland, Gents Interclub Golf kicks off in earnest this week. We've got golf clubs were allowed to compete from Monday of this week. They were able to compete in the Junior Cup, Jimmy Broon, Pierce Purcell, Senior Cup, Barton Cup, and so on. Our own club have 3 of those in action this weekend. We've got our Jimmy Broon Friday and Pierce Purcell Saturday and Junior Cup on Sunday. It looks like for clubs a very, very busy couple of weeks now, particularly if you get a couple of teams through the first round. I know, Nigel, you were disappointed. You just missed out in the Junior Cup spot for Sunday, for this round anyway. We'll definitely be keeping a very close eye on you for later rounds. You're probably a little bit relieved anyway, because I think you're going to be coming back from a long trip on Sunday morning, but disappointed.
Yeah, I would have had to leave Donegal about 10:30 in the morning to make sure I was back in time.
Yeah.
But now I can leisurely return.
You can. And you know what? Your form is good. You're coming down. So there's no doubt that in later rounds, which I hope we'll be in, you'll be a runner there as well.
Thanks, Skipper.
Not a bother. In the match play then, so there's a couple of match plays. You won last night. Congratulations. You were in trouble. So you were 2 down with 5 to play?
Myself and Marcin against Dara and Daryl. We're normally a 4-ball anyway.
Yeah, you always play together on the Saturdays. So this is really a local derby.
It was a local derby, yeah.
2 down with 5 to play. What was the major turning point there?
Well, we had a shot on the Forest hole 14, made a par there to get it back to 1 down, and there was a couple of putts missed on their side on the 15 and 16, which could have put them 1 up at least with 2 to play. But instead, it was all square with 2 to play. We went far right on 17; they went long left. Neither of us even hit the green with our chips. We were that far away, but we managed to get up and down for a 4, and that was enough to win 17. And then on 18, we hit the green in 2 on the par 5, which is enough to seal the match.
Congratulations! And are you still in the 4-ball?
Still in the 4-ball. Where we got a bye to the second round.
Bye to the second round. Okay, so going well. Going well.
Or a walkover.
Yeah. So that's all of your match plays then, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe we could be playing yourself and Mackie the second round if you win tonight.
All right, okay. Yeah, so we're playing tonight. We've got Ardal and Gary, two great lads in fairness. So we're giving away some shots. I think we've got 7 or 8 shots we're giving them tonight. And so you're waiting at the other side for that. Well, that would make it all the more interesting. Now I'm motivated, Nigel.
Yeah.
And in the 4-ball, we had a good win on Sunday, myself and Tom. We hardly put a foot wrong, I have to say. We were, you know, for the ones we finished out, which we didn't finish out everything, but for the ones we finished out, we were a couple under. And I definitely, towards the end, on the 6th and 7th yellow, as we were finishing the round, I didn't get a chance to put for birdie. We played very well. I think we could have shot, you know, maybe 4 or 5 under if we had finished out everything. But it's match play, so who cares? And then on the singles match play, which is Division 1 off scratch, I had a horrific start on Tuesday. I had a horrific start, went 4 down, and game leveled off until 13th hole. Lost that hole to go back to 4 down, and I won the next 5 remaining holes to win 1 up. So I was lucky. I got out of jail.
What a player.
Well, I could have birdied a few of them on the way in, but I did need to. I lagged a few putts because pars were enough to win through. They're difficult. They can be difficult enough holes at the best of times. But I had a remarkable up and down on the 17th, which is the par 3/8 on yellow, from a near shank on the tee box. I was trees on the right, and the pin was up on the back on the right, which was a difficult pin position. I managed to put it to about 6 feet and hold the putt, and that brought it to levels going down the last. And I think that was a sucker punch to my opponent that it wasn't going to be his day. Yeah, got out of jail, still in it.
The run continues.
Long may it continue. But yeah, I've motivation for tonight now and having you guys in the next round. That'd be great. That'd be a good one for the pod. We might need to do a live podcast for that one.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So finally then in news, Gavin Watch. So Gavin has scraped into the field for the Betfred British Masters as a first reserve. Delighted for him in the close house. It's going to be played in the close house, hosted by Westy. Paul Dunn won here in 2017. Great win, and also great to see him returning from injury 9 months out, hoping for Paul that he can go back to his former glories here. But no doubt it's going to be a challenge for him in his first game back.
My pick, Larrazabal, is 4 under, joint leader, so I'm happy with that.
Happy days. Right, well, let's move on then to the 3M, formerly the 3M Championship, which was played on the Champions Tour, debuted in PGA in 2019. Matthew Wolf won here last year, 21 under. That was his big debut win, wasn't it, Nigel?
That's right. That's when he really announced himself on the scene.
Yeah. It's been played at the TPC Twin Cities in Blaine, Minnesota. which on average is 900 feet above sea level, designed by Arnie, par 72, 7,164 yards. Of interest here, we've no world number one, no Ram, no world number two, Rory, no Tiger, no Mr. Ego brand of the year, DeShambles, as I shall call him. He's not there. The only Irish interest is Seamus Power, who's an early starter tomorrow, and DJ is the bookie's favourite. So what's your take on the 3M, Nigel?
Well, it's a big drop in quality compared to last week. But last week apparently had a strength of field that was greater than the last eight Masters. Yeah. So we've gone from a major championship level field to one that has DJ as the favourite, despite the fact that DJ had back-to-back 80s on Thursday and Friday last week to go out of the tournament. I think he might have been last. Really, this is a drop-off in quality. The top of the market isn't great either. DJ is the favourite. Brooks, Tommy Fleetwood are 12-1. Fleetwood's coming back off a break. He hasn't played competitive golf since March. Brooks, as we've said before, is still dealing with injuries. So it's not easy to kind of to take that top of the market that seriously. And I've kind of gone for players just slightly further down who are in better form, I feel.
Okay.
I think last year was the first event, and it's the only kind of course form we can go on. And I don't think you can bring in that as a massive factor either. So this week's headline selection is Harris English. He's currently 26th in the FedEx Cup standings, and that's on the back of five top 10 finishes this year. He's also finished in the top 20 three other times. He's massively consistent this year. He's played well last week. He was tied 13th at Memorial. He's gotten over a positive COVID-19 test. That hasn't affected his mental attitude or his mental state of mind. And he's still playing good golf. So I think he's a guy who can go very close this week. The next one is Max Homa. Now, I'm taking Max on a little bit of a wing and a prayer, a little bit of trust here. He was playing well before the pandemic break. Since they've come back, he hasn't really done much. He's missed a couple of cuts. His figures aren't that great. But before the pandemic, he would have been half the price of this. This is more of a value play and a little bit of a hopeful play. But I think he can go well this week and sort of show the sort of level of play he was showing before the pandemic hit. Charlie Hoffman is the next pick. He's also 66-1. We're going to 1 point each way. Charlie was kind of a bit all over the place the last year, but Charity Open, he was top 10. That was 2 weeks ago now. So he seems to be back to his best. He's a fast starter, so maybe consider him for the first round later as well. And, I think this is the sort of level and sort of style of course that he can come back to the fore and really show his mettle. Next pick is Sam Ryder, 80-1, 0.7 points each way. Sam also was in a top 10 at the Workday 2 weeks ago and also has course form here at TPC Twin Cities. He's shot 66 twice last year. And I think that really solidifies the sort of claims that he can go well this week. 80-1 is a good price. I remember he played well in a low scoring event in Las Vegas a year or so ago. So I think he can definitely contend on Sunday. I have a couple other picks as well that are more outsider selections. I've gone for Joseph Bramlett, who is a Corn Ferry Tour rookie and has actually, before the kind of pandemic was coming back and he wasn't involved in a couple of the early tournaments like Colonial, he went back to the Corn Ferry and had two back-to-back top three finishes, which I thought was interesting. He's shown good form. He's got a lot of potential, so he could go well this week. And the last selection, the big outsider, is a Canadian called Roger Sloan. He was top 30 finish at the Workday and tied 15th here last year. a 200 to 1, you know, small each way, could be worth a punt if he sneaks into the places.
He's a bit of a Canadian Fleetwood. Have you seen his hairstyle?
Yeah, he's got the flowing locks underneath the hat.
Yeah, yeah.
Looks like a trucker.
Yeah.
The rundown again, I just want to restate them. So it's Harris English 25 to 1, 2 points each way. Max Holmes 66 to 1, 1 point each way. Charlie Hoffman 66 to 1, also 1 point each way. Sam Ryder 80 to 1, 0.7 points each way. And Joseph Bramlett 125 to 1 each way, half a point each way, and Roger Sloan a half point each way at 200 to 1.
Super. Right. Well, I'm looking forward to the golf this weekend. It was exciting watching the finish last week. I think, you know, people were struggling on the course compared to the previous week with the weather and so on. Let's hope we get some, even with a reduced field, an exciting finish. I think since, as you said a couple of weeks ago, since PGA Tour has returned, it's probably been as more exciting than ever before. So let's hope that continues this weekend.
It's going to be quite windy a couple of days this week. Harris English is a good wind player. That's just another reason why I put him up. The weather could play a factor this week. Normally, this would be a birdie fest, but it may not be as low scoring as last year.
Yeah. Yeah, Matthew Wolf, 21 under last year. So what would be your betting? So if you said there would be a closing score this year, 15, 16 or?
16 under, yeah. There's a couple of guys I left off. Like, he made the short list, and guys like Sam Burns, Lucas Glover. Lucas Glover went well last week. Sam Burns went well at the Workday. Both of them finished in the top 10 here last year. The reason I didn't pick them this week is because their prices are very short at the moment. I think people have already gambled on them. I don't think they're worth a gamble at those prices. But if you want to go for them, I wouldn't put you off.
Yeah.
Troy Merritt is another one as well who could go well.
Super. Thanks a million again, Nigel, for all your tips. The last 2 weeks have been a little bit difficult for you, but you're still money up considering the start you had in the pod. The first 2 or 3 weeks there were quite exciting. So hopefully this weekend now one of these boys can come true. I think Max Homa there at 66 to 1. I like that taste. And I go with your advice in Harris English as well. I think the two of those could be real front runners for us here.
Yeah, hope so. Best of luck to everyone.
So thanks again. And we'll catch you next week. Hopefully, I'll be contacting you later on tonight to arrange a match. But either way, we shall continue on next week.
Good stuff. Talk to you then.
All right. Thanks, Nigel. So just to confirm, this podcast is not sponsored in any way. All views expressed in this podcast are my own and do not represent the opinions of any entity whatsoever with which I have been, am now, or will be affiliated. Please do subscribe to the podcast, Brad Golf TV. You'll find me on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Google, etc., etc. Please follow, like, retweet, and share on social media. It's Brad Golf TV on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. On Facebook, you'll find me at bradgolf.ie. And you can also drop me an email at bradgolftv@gmail.com. Looking forward to hearing from you in the weeks and months ahead. You've been listening to Brad Golf Podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Please do come back soon and join me for another round.